This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie?
I am amazingly well. Thank you for asking. Crystal blue, blue sky, not a cloud, crisp and cool. Fall colors are really starting to pop around in my hood.
They are indeed.
And indeed. You.
And this is the time of year where if you haven't already, you got to get your plants in, right?
Yes. Get those amaryllis in and down into the basement for maybe 10, maybe 12 weeks. But keep an eye, they will start to grow in the dark, in the basement, when they're ready. And they will grow with flower buds at that point. And maybe we will talk a bit more about amaryllis. My Christmas cactus outside still. So I have a plant called Clivia out on the porch. So they're like in this cool, the initiation of flowers on many plants does require a cool temperature.
Right. And I took your advice last week, and I actually put our Christmas cactus outside, which I had not had it out, and then I felt bad about that. So I've had it outside because you had said that it will bade well for it. It will help it kind of bloom when you bring it back in.
Yeah, well, like I said, the flower buds are initiated with low temperatures. So people say, I don't have any flowers on my Christmas cactus. Because it's in a heated, warm home, and the plant grows. It's a beautiful green plant, but no flowers without the cool temperatures. And frankly,
short days. How concerned do I have to be about frost?
It's good. It's fine. It's fine. If it's outside on a frosty night, I would keep it close to the house so that it's under the eave or under a porch, just because the frost, as you know, descends from above and you get that, you know, crystals on our lawns and gardens when we get the frosts. So you don't really want it subjected to the crystals. But yeah, no, they can be out there. Zero, you know, minus one, minus two. As soon as it's colder than that, bring them in. Make sure they are not bone dry. If you're subjecting them to extreme temperatures, make sure that they have been watered.
Okay. You know what we'll do? Why don't I give out the numbers? We would love for you to give us a call. 416-360-0740. If you live outside Toronto, that's the Toronto number. If you live outside Toronto, but still anywhere within the province of Ontario, here is a 1-800 number for you to call. 1-866-740-4740. And do let our producer Anthony know if you're a first-time caller, and I will give you the garden wings. Yeah. And we want you to call often. We want you to call early. And that's an important one. Well, they're all important, but call early. Don't leave it to the last 15 minutes, because there was a caller last week we just couldn't get to, you know, so call early. And please, this is also a really important one. One question per call to make sure that we make room for everyone. Okay. If you have a second question, you got to call back. Okay. That's how it works. So, yeah. Before we go to break, Charlie, do you have any announcements?
I just want to quickly remind people. I told you about the Artworth camp that I'm doing some seminars with. Adults in Campbellford, the home of the best donuts in the world, really.
And yours, you got it.
Yours. So, so this Wednesday, I am in Campbellford again at the Aaron Theater, 7 p.m. For more information, go to artworthcamp.ca and then follow the tab Artworth for Adults. My speaking this week is gardening in a changing climate.
Okay, wonderful. We are time for our first commercial break, but we will be right back with much, much more right here on The Garden Show.
don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on this Thanksgiving weekend. And do you have plans for the Thanksgiving weekend, Charlie?
Well, I just want to mention it's also Yom Kippur weekend. So
depending on
what you celebrate, it's a busy weekend. I'm actually not doing any celebrating. We're postponing Thanksgiving my children, who will come out next weekend.
Wonderful. Yeah, no, you know what? A lot of people do that. A lot of people, it's a Saturday thing, it's a Sunday thing, it's a Monday thing, or as you say, it's a postponed thing. And I think that's perfectly fine. You know, there's so many moving schedules these days with people.
No kidding.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Well, let's go to our first caller. We have Jennifer on the line, and she's calling from Guelph. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jennifer.
Good morning.
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 Radio. Hi. I have a question about the overwintering plants.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
Go ahead.
I have in large pots. I've got
canna lilies.
Canna lilies, and I also have a mandevilla, and I want to overwinter them, just leaving them in the pots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year with the canna, I tried, you know, I dug up the rhizomes, tubers or whatever, and dried them and put them in sawdust and in a box in the basement. And when I planted them, nothing happened. So I was wondering if I could just cut them off kind of low and leave them in the pot and then bring it into cooler temperatures. Would that work?
It could. What I do with something like a canna lily is I wait until it's had a frost. So a good frost will kill all the foliage on the lily, but of course it won't kill the living rhizome below soil. So once it's been frosted, then I cut off the foliage. And yes, you can take that pot. It's actually a lot easier to just leave these things in pots if you can move that pot into a frost-free location. So it's got to be, it could be a garage, it could be an insulated shed, whatever. It's just got to be frost-free. It doesn't have to have any light. It's not, you're not trying to grow that plant over the winter. You're trying to keep it alive. So frost-free, but dormant, so cool. Anywhere like refrigerator-type temperatures. So anywhere between kind of 1 and 10 works, 1 and 8 degrees Celsius works to keep a canna alive and dormant. So if you can pull that off with it in a pot, definitely do that. The mandevilla, on the other hand, there's two ways to deal with. One is bring it into your house as a house plant. So in a bright, sunny window, continue to grow it all winter, water as necessary, enjoy flowers, etc. If it's getting lots of light, you will have to do some cutting back because it's going to start to really grow when it comes into your warm house. Or some people will just let the mandevillas go semi-dormant. You can't go fully dormant, and they do not want any frost whatsoever. So sometimes somebody will have a spare bedroom they're not using, and they'll just shut down the heat into that room, but there's bright light, and let the mandevilla just have a slow winter in the brightness, but cool temperatures again, 10, 11, 12, 13 Celsius, watering is necessary, but just letting the plant just sort of hunker down without a lot of heat. Heat will make it grow.
Okay, I don't have like a room with enough light probably for it over the winter. So could I not just, like you say, cut it down, watered, and put it in the garage at 40 degrees, 50 degrees? Would it be okay?
Maybe. It might be. It can be a little touch and go. Just last year was so mild, our garages never froze. But if we had a real cold winter, I guess, your garage, what it'll do.
Sure.
The main thing for both those things is frost-free. The canna can take cooler temperatures than the mandevilla, but sure, it's certainly worth a try.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much for the call there. Okay. Let's go to our next caller. We have Ann on the line from Hagersville. Welcome to The Garden Show, Ann.
Good morning to both of you. I'm calling about dahlias. I have two and two patio planters. I planted them very late because we had so much rain, it was too wet to plant anything. I didn't even know if I'd get any blooms, but they're loaded with blooms. Now, Thursday night, we had a very heavy frost here. My wooden fence was white, and everything else was covered in a layer of frost. Now, I want to know, do I need to dig my dahlias out now, or can I wait? I'm not sure what to do.
Were the dahlias hit by the frost? Have the leaves all turned crispy?
No, they haven't. And it's on my south patio, so I'm probably kind of protected by the house.
Sure. Okay, so similar to what we were just saying to Jennifer about canna lilies, dahlias are very similar. You want the frost to cause the foliage to die down, and that is what will absolutely stop those plants from blooming and growing and doing all the things they're doing right now. So I'd leave them outside, leave them where they are, enjoy them over the weekend, you know, enjoy the blooms, etc. Water if you need to, but water sparingly because you don't want them, you know, soggy and soaked at this time of year. Wait until the frost knocks them right down, so now all the above ground growth is just mush, really. At that point, you'll be digging them out, or if you can want to leave them in the pots and you can leave them in the pots, do that, but remove all that foliage and then into a frost-free location for the winter.
When I remove the foliage, do I remove it right to the soil level?
Yes.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Cool. Okay, thanks for the
call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I guess one quick addendum to both Jennifer and Anne. If you're leaving those tubers in pots, then that's fine. You're just leaving them, and that's obviously the easiest thing to do by far. But if you are lifting them out of the pots to overwinter them in a box somewhere with, you know, sawdust or peat moss or something, you will need to dry them down a bit. They'll come out of the pots a little bit moist. You'll need to sit them out on newspapers in undercover, so they're not out in the rain or anything like that, and dry them for about a week or so before you store them in that cool, dark location.
Okay, otherwise I'm guessing they could get a bit of rot, yes?
Yeah, well, because remember there's soil attached and the soil might be moist, and yeah, absolutely. So you want to dry them enough so that the soil gets dried off, and then just gently with your hands you're going to brush the soil off and then put them away. It's kind of like curing, like I'm doing with my sweet potatoes, right? It's the idea of the skin, the outer skin will be thicker and tougher and less able to be, infested with any kind of a fungus or bacteria or anything.
Okay. Before we go to our break, which we're going to do in a second, I'm going to give out the numbers again. If you live in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Or if you live outside Toronto, but still within the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, I think it's become clear to me anyway on this is the time of year, of course, when the topic is about putting things to bed for the season a lot of the times.
And harvest.
And harvest, yes, yeah. Indeed. Yes, it's true. It's harvest time for certain things. And then for a lot of our flowers, we're thinking about how do we winter them? How do we put them to bed? How do we, you know, put them away so that we can have them again next year?
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Well, you know why? You spend a lot of money on some of these plants. And if we can overwinter them, then great. They're just bigger and better next year. And sometimes they're hard to get. Like you just can't replace. Like I have a geranium that I love and I grow it every chance I get. It's actually called Vancouver. It's an ornamental geranium. So it's got red, orangey red flowers, but it's got beautiful leaves. They're lime green and red leaves. So very showy plant, even if it's not flowering, and then double showy with flowers. And I love this plant. So right now I've got it tucked under an eave. We haven't had frost at my house yet, but I do have it tucked under. I'm going to have to, it's too big a pot to bring in. I'm going to have to take some chunks off of it and bring them in at some point.
Gotcha. Well, you know, you could throw one of those chunks my way because I would love, sounds like a geranium that I would love.
Yeah. If you've got sunshine, it's a great plant.
Yeah, I do.
You know?
Okay. You know what else we have? We have callers. We have lots of callers on the line. Woo. So we're going to go to Judy, who's calling from Oakville right now. Welcome to the Garden Show, Judy.
Hi, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
First of all, Charlie, I love, love, love your television shows. I hope you're shooting more for next year. They were so informative. I just love them.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're working on another project now.
Oh, good. Well, that Diana...
I'll let you know.
Okay. Diana Burstford Krogan, I believe that's how you pronounce
yeah.
her name. Oh,
Kruger,
what a
yeah.
woman.
Amazing, eh? What an amazing woman she is.
Yeah, I've got three of her books already, and she writes beautifully, and oh, I just love her. Anyhow, my question, Brussels sprouts. I bought 6 transplants at an Italian garden center this early spring, gave them to my friend who lives around Orangeville, amazing garden, all natural, and there's not a single sprout on any of them. And lots of beautiful leaves, but no sprouts. So I'm wondering what your advice would be.
Okay, that's weird. I have never heard of that.
No, I know. It's right next to kale, which is thriving. But I don't know. Is it possible that the Brussels sprouts could have been sterile?
Very unusual. I'm wondering, particularly since you mentioned the kale is doing so well, perhaps the gardener, in as part of the fertilizing or the soil amending, has ended up with an awful lot of nitrogen in the soil. And, of course, nitrogen encourages leaves and stems on plants.
Yes.
So we do get great kale when we have lots of compost, lots of composted manure in the soil. I'm just wondering if maybe that's what's going on and the Brussels sprouts never set flowers because it just never needed to. It was just so happy with all those leaves.
Well, that's you're probably right because he's a farmer. He uses his, 10-year-old manure. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'll bet you anything.
Lucky
that's
him.
Exactly right. Okay.
That's sort of what jumps into my mind. If I come up with any other idea, I'll certainly let you know. I'll say something here on the radio. But otherwise, or if anybody who's listening has had the same experience, let me know.
Okay.
Because I haven't grown them very often myself, but when I have, they have always consistently, they set those little buds.
Yes.
It's a big, tall plant with leaves coming out of the stems, but it's in between. It's called the axil, the leaf axil, where the leaf comes off the stem. You get a little bud, and it starts to grow, and it gets, it's just like a little plant. It's a little, like a miniature cabbage. And they're pretty, pretty dependable.
Oh, they're gorgeous. And you usually, cut them after the frost and hang them in the garage.
Yeah. And they're sweet. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they're so good. Okay, well, that's a good idea. Maybe next year he won't amend the soil quite as generously.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I have another question, but I will call back.
Thanks, Judy. Hey, Dean.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, so Judy was calling from Oakville, and I probably should have asked her, though I'm sure she's still listening. Ask her if she knows where the Valley Brook Park is in Oakville, because there's a very cool event coming up at the Valley Brook Park, which is at 1150 Valley Brook Drive in Oakville. So you know what it is. I'm gonna ask you something that I'm sure you've probably never heard of. This is the Miyawaki Mini Forest. Have you ever heard of a Miyawaki Mini Forest?
I have not.
Okay, so Mr. Miyawaki was a Japanese botanist who died not that long ago, but he was had been a serious sort of ecological botanist for 60 years, so he was kind of ahead of his time. And what he realized is that, and typical what happened in Japan, where you've got very, very small spaces, and particularly in the urban environment, where you've got just little pockets of nothing, like a corner that's just gravel, like a little, where there was a, just little tiny, where nothing grows, where it's just ugly and urban and dead. He realized that if you very particularly do some supplementing of that soil. So you've got to get the concrete out of there and get some soil happening, supplementing it with that 10-year-old cattle manure that Judy was talking about. And then you pack that area full of native plants, pack it, like really pack it. We're talking 3 to 5 seedlings, and they could be tree seedlings per square meter. So imagine 5 pine trees, all little pine trees planted within 1 square meter. So a meter being 3 feet. So
wow.
3 feet by 3 feet. So what happens when you do that? Super dense planting like that, the plants will grow up together and will actually support each other. Because they're native plants, they're more likely to survive these conditions with some maintenance for 2 to 3 years. So some water, some weeding, you know, just some caring for this area, this little mini forest. Yep. For 2 to 3 years, you have got a fully zero maintenance, self-sustaining forest in the most unlikely locations. And it's a cool idea, and it certainly has been sort of adopted all over the world as a way to green up our urban and our particular urban, but just environments that need oxygen and need green. So what's happening in Oakville is a mini forest. Using the Miyawaki technique, is coming into the park, the Valley Brook Park. And volunteers are required to help with the planting. They've got 300 native trees going into this small space in the park, and they're looking for volunteers to come out and help with the tree planting October 16th, 17th, and 19th. You will need to RSVP. So part of why this is such a cool event is that the maintenance is going to be done by an organization called Grandmother's Voices. So Grandmother's Voices is going to work alongside the town of Oakville and some others to maintain this little forest once it's planted for the next 2 to 3 years. But it costs money. The soil, the plants, et cetera, et cetera. So this whole thing has been supported by Green Communities Canada, the National Mini Forest Program. So it's a very cool thing. So for more information, go to grandmothersvoice.com, grandmothersvoice.com. Look up under events. You'll see this event going on in Oakville. And if you'd like to go, they've got some hours that they'll be there planting and hoping for volunteers. And if you have any young people in your family, Dean maybe should send his daughter down. Those high school kids, they have to do their volunteer hours. So this is also an opportunity to get volunteer hours under your belt. Just bring your forms with you, and the forms will be filled out by the leaders of the volunteers at the event.
No, that's great. And the 16th, 17th, and 19th is this coming Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, just to be clear. So
Yeah.
No, sounds great. And you're right. Absolutely. Volunteer hours. They all need them for sure.
They do. 40 hours.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Let's go to our, I love that, by the way. And I will ask more about that later, but let's get to our next caller. We have Evelyn on the line, and she's calling from Toronto. And welcome to the Garden Show, Evelyn.
Thank you. Charlie, this may be your morning smile or frown. I had emailed you and you responded about my amaryllis. I totally forgot about it, and it was in a paper bag in the basement, and I thought, oh, never planted it outdoors. It was always indoors, and just wondering, I don't think there's any growth on it. Is there any hope, or probably not?
Okay, so thanks for calling, Evelyn. I did forward your email to Dean, which is why he's also giggling in the background.
Oh, good.
May I say one word?
Yeah.
Photosynthesis. That's all I'm going to say.
Photosynthesis. So, you indicated in your email that you had received or purchased this amaryllis bulb last winter, enjoyed the flowers last winter in a pot in your house. Then, when the flowers were finished, instead of leaving the bulb in the pot and allowing the leaves to grow in your house over the winter and spring and summer, you yanked the whole thing out of the pot, I guess, cut everything down, and stuck it in a bag in your basement.
Right.
So, I know, poor thing. So, if you pull that bulb out of the bag right now, what does it feel like? Is it firm?
It is.
Is it of a good size? Like, you probably don't remember what size it was when it went into the basement.
Yeah,
but
it is like a small baseball.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what? Never say never. If you had left it in the pot and allowed it to grow green leaves and do the photosynthesis that Dean alluded to, then that bulb would be bigger now than it is currently, because it would, the green leaves absorb the sun, convert sun energy into carbohydrates, and the bulb expands. And ultimately, you get bigger flowers and more flowers with a bigger bulb. So that's why we like to do that. But if it feels like it's in good shape, it's not soft, it's not mushy, it's not all shriveled up, I would get it into a pot of potting mix today. Remember, when you're planting it, a good one third of the bulb sticks up out of the soil at the top, two thirds of the bulb is buried in the soil at the bottom, and get it onto a nice window ledge in your house. Don't go outside with it. A window ledge, sunshine, water once, or, you know, put it into a moist soil, water a little bit, and just wait. Green leaves will start to grow. It's unlikely to flower this year, but let it do whatever it's going to do. If it's going to grow leaves, enjoy the leaves. And then we'll talk some more this time next year about putting it away. So be prepared to have that plant on your, in your house as a house plant right now all winter, and then maybe next spring or summer you could put it outside. But it has been, it's had opposite dormancy. See, these plants are originally from the southern, like south of the equator. So this is spring, like our fall is their spring. So these plants do want to grow by their physiology. They do want to grow. So it will start to grow. It just probably won't flower this year, but maybe it will. Who knows?
Okay. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you. Now you have room for another caller.
Yeah.
Thanks, Evelyn.
Have a good holiday. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I just, my amaryllis were out on the south windowsill of our back deck, and I let those leaves just kind of soak up all that sun, as you say, and mm-hmm. now they've wilted down, mm-hmm. and they're just, the amaryllis are just getting ready to come in now, and now I'll, you know, sort of put them away for how long, about 6 weeks?
Well, see, I used to think I did it by the calendar, so I would pull my amaryllis out of the basement by a date on the calendar, and it's more than 6 weeks. It's more like 10 to 12. But then I realized that when you do that, you usually just get leaves. Leaves is what will grow. You have to wait until that, each of those individual bulbs will do something in your basement. They'll either send up a flower bud, very obvious flower coming. Yeah, you don't want it to expand, but you got to check. Mm-hmm. You know, wait 6 weeks and then start checking every day or every second day. So as soon as you see some growth coming out of the plants, whether it's leaves or flowers, you now go into the light with the pots of amaryllis.
Okay.
But wait until it wakes up.
It's going to tell me.
Yeah. Yeah, follow its schedule rather than your own.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, let's, you know what? We're going to go to our next break now. We'll be back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. We were just discussing Brussels sprouts off the air and how my kids love them, even when they were little. You know, they would ask for them in the grocery store.
It's like a treat.
So, but they're not a favorite of yours.
No, not a one. Yeah, most kids, you know, have a meltdown if you don't buy them a chocolate bar at the grocery store. And your kids were doing that for Brussels sprouts, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I grew up with them being boiled and I didn't like them, but I roast them in the oven with a bit of bacon and apple and a bit of balsamic drizzle on that afterwards. And yeah, we love them.
Yeah, no, I just never really loved them. I've grown them and I've cooked them and I've said, no, I don't like them enough.
I'll tell you what, you know what? We're going to work out a deal. You can grow them. I'll take them. I'll eat them. Okay,
there you go. They're fun to grow. They're crazy looking plants. They're pretty fun to grow.
Good. Well, like I said, we have an arrangement. Okay, right. Let's go to our next caller. We have Marge on the line from Niagara. Welcome to The Garden Show, Marge.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I've got green peppers. Now, they're supposed to be yellow, and they haven't turned, so I pulled them out, and I want to know, how can they turn that? What can they do to help them turn color? I can't put them in a window. That's not possible. Oh. But is there some other way?
No, Marge, you know what? I would just enjoy them as green peppers if I were you. If you can't put them in a window, you're not going to get them to color up.
Okay.
Yeah. The bottom line with peppers is they all start green. So every pepper has a green phase to start, and that's considered an immature pepper. It's completely edible. It just doesn't have the same sweetness that it will when it's more mature. So whether it's orange or yellow or red, they sweeten as they mature. But if frost is coming, you got to get them off the plants. And once they're in the house, you will not see a lot of the actual fruit will not necessarily continue to grow when it's been severed from its mother plant. And a windowsill will often help with the coloring, though honestly it doesn't make that much of a difference on the taste. The sweetness all comes from being attached to the plant.
Okay. No, yeah, I was hoping maybe putting in a bag or something and they turned.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for
not that
help.
I know of. Anyway, yeah, thanks for calling.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Marge. Let's go to our very next caller. We have Gwyneth?
Yeah, looks like it.
On the line from Hamilton. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Hello.
Morning.
Hey, how are you?
I am fine. I just have a question. I have a butterfly
good.
Bush.
And what do you got for Charlie there?
I have a butterfly bush. And when is the best time to prune it?
Okay, so I prune butterfly bush in the spring. So I leave them alone all fall and all winter, let them do their thing. The flowers are there, the leaves will drop off, just allow them. You're in Hamilton. Is it a new plant? Did you just plant it this year?
No, it's about 2 years old.
Okay. If it's a really cold winter and it's in a very exposed spot to the cold northwest wind, I'll often put a little bit of extra soil just around the base of the plant over the crown to help it if it's going to be a really cold winter. You just don't know. Because butterfly bush, the whole top dies. So we call it a bush, but it kind of acts like a perennial. So the whole top dies if it's a very cold winter. And so in the spring, you see what's alive. So it's going to be alive at the very bottom for sure, but it also might be alive a little further up the plant. So in the spring, once the little green buds start to show and the sprout open, we get out our pruners and we cut out all the dead stuff and then just balance the plant so that it's not sort of tall on one side and short on the other. Make it all sort of the same height so that it all grows back into a nice bush next year.
Oh, so you wait till the little green things start coming, and then you prune it.
That's what I do, because then I know exactly what I'm dealing with.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, thanks for calling.
It's going all out in different directions.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you don't want.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Happy Thanksgiving. I think, Charlie, in a couple of years that I've been spending time with you on the show, I think that that's one of the more confusing things, actually, is when you prune certain things. Because I've heard some things are fall, some things are spring, some things are... I think that's maybe one of the trickier things to wrap your head around.
I know, but that's a good thing, because it's that way you just have a balance in your life of pruning certain plants at certain times of the year.
Yeah.
Instead of, I always remember my brother when he first bought a house, and it was a little tiny house in East York, and it had been lived in by a couple for 30 or 40 years at that point, and they had planted all kinds of shrubs with all kinds of different blooming times, like, spring forsythia, like right through to whatever, lilacs and all sorts of things. And he's the kind of guy who was Mr. Efficient, and he went out and he pruned everything on the same day. And then he's like, mm-hmm. how come such and such isn't blooming? And I'm going, well, let's talk about when you pruned it. You know, you can't do all your pruning on one day.
Wow.
It, you know, you might think you're being Mr. Efficient, but, you know, you're limiting your flowers if you're pruning everything the same day. You know, pruning, you're limiting the ornamental value of these plants. So, and he was like, oh, I didn't know that. I thought I could just go out and prune everything on May 10th or something. It's like, oh, well, that was a mistake.
So, anyway. And you know what the craziest thing about that story is? Mm-hmm. His sister is Charlie Dobbin, for goodness.
Yeah.
Just give her a call.
I know. He makes the mistakes first, and then he calls me and says, what did I do wrong?
He calls to try and fix them. That's hilarious. I love it. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Douglas on the line from Parry Sound. Douglas, welcome to the Garden Show. I have it on good authority that you are a first-time caller. Yeah, I'm going to give you the garden wings then, okay? There you go.
All right. Welcome to the show, Douglas.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead. I can hear you're on a. You're out in your car?
Can you do a little faster?
Oh. Go ahead there, Douglas. We're going to, you know what, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go to the next step. We're going to go to a break. Yeah. We're going to have to go to a
Douglas.
Break. And we'll see if we can get Douglas on the line. And we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, let's go to our very next caller here in The Garden Show. We have Irene calling from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, Irene.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm a first-time caller.
Ooh.
Oh, you're a first-time caller. Okay, well, then you get the garden wings.
Okay. Yes, yes. Welcome, welcome.
I have, I've got my backyard prepared for the winter. And this time, I thought what I'd do is put straw down for a covering. And I'm told I have to wait till the frost comes. Is that correct?
Okay, so what is it that you're putting the straw over top?
All my flowers, all my plants in the backyard.
So perennial plants, I assume.
That's right.
Yeah, yes, indeed. I would definitely wait until a frost. So the reason why is a frost will cause all those flowers and leaves to die, keeping the root below ground alive. And that's what your straw will do. It will insulate the root below to some extent in case we have a really crazy, crazy cold winter. If you put the straw on too early, you can end up with lots of mold and mildew because the straw will trap water, and the water and the straw could cause literally like black mold and mildew to start growing in the leaves of your existing perennials that are not dormant. And that mold and mildew can travel down the stems to the roots and then kill the plants below ground. So you want them completely dormant before you do any kind of winter mulch, whether it's soil as a mulch we do with our roses. We call it hilling the roses. Also with your straw, try to not put it directly on top of the plants. If you can, try and tuck the straw around the plants.
Around the plant. The other thing is, I understand this weekend we're going to have rain and frost. Is it too early to put it down?
Well, wait until you've had a frost and then put it down on a dry day. So, yeah, if you can wait with the straw, you know what? If you've got straw and you're in the city, keep your straw as a straw bale for Halloween maybe, and then after Halloween, you'll be in a good position. Everything will be nice and dormant, and then you just need a dry, sunny day, and you'll tuck that straw in around the dormant plants.
Around the dormant plants, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just that I have trees, but I only get acorns. I don't get any leaves. So that's the reason why I thought this year I'll try the straw, but I didn't know how to use it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, the straw is what we call a winter mulch. So,
right.
Yeah, just use it as a winter mulch, but wait till we're more wintry before you start using it.
Okay, so probably by the end of October.
Yeah, exactly. Early November.
Okay. Well, thank you very kindly and happy.
And, yeah, thank you, Irene, and don't be a stranger.
Okay. Yeah, thanks very much, Irene, for the call. Let's go right to Judy. Judy has called back from Oakville. Welcome back to the Garden Show, Judy.
Hi, thank you. And Dean, I cook the Brussels sprouts just like you do. I'm sure Charlie would love it.
Yes.
Anyhow, my question
Who wants to boil Brussels sprouts? They're so nice when they're roasted.
Yuck. And it stinks up the house. when you're cooking with bacon, everything smells wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's better with bacon.
I even dab a little bit of bacon behind my ears just to, you know.
Well, that's very interesting.
That's why I like you so much, Dean. I didn't know your secret.
There you go.
Well, now you got to try Dean's Brussels sprouts, Charlie. I'm sure you'd love them.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Okay. So my question this time, polyanthus, tuber rose. Mm-hmm. I've tried it 2 years and have not had any flowers either year. The first year, I did 3 bulbs in a pot facing east. Mm-hmm. I got a few leaves, but that was it. So this year, I got another 3 bulbs, put them in the ground facing west. The rest of the garden was lovely. This year, I got, again, gorgeous leaves, no flowers. So I dug up the bulbs. They're nice and firm and fat and happy, and they're surrounded by babies. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do I dry them and store them and try again? Do I separate out the babies? Do I just plant the whole thing and maybe it will flower the second year or inside? I don't know what to do.
Okay, so what I would do, it's great that you've got little babies. So you've got happy, healthy bulbs with progeny attached. What I would do, keep in mind that primrose, specifically polyanthus, want to be in a situation where they get morning sun. So I would not do the western location. They don't like the heat, particularly in the summer when it's hot. These plants really go downhill. So you want them in the eastern morning sun, but then there's that coolness in the afternoon in terms of having them grow in your garden. Right. They should bloom in early spring, and then they should just be green plants in the summer. And bottom line is they also, where did you get the bulbs from? Do you remember?
Brex in BC.
Oh, you did, yeah. Right. So I'm 99% positive. I think I'm even 100% positive that you should be able to leave those outside. But they're in pots now, you said.
No.
And you like them in pots? You want to keep them in pots?
I dug them out of the garden, and they're now just waiting in the garage until I talk to you.
Yeah. I would put them back into the garden. I'd put them in an eastern location in the garden, and I'd put them down at least 3 or 4 inches deep, and I would let them do their thing. They will obviously be out there all winter, but it should pop up early in the spring. So if you're not sure where they are, and I do this sometimes with plants when I'm, you know, could get silly out there and step on them too early, is put a couple little stakes around where you've planted them. I do that, like, we're coming up to garlic planting season, just for all of you garlic lovers. I always put stakes around the area where my garlic is so I don't do anything silly the following spring.
Yeah, okay. I usually plant the garlic with beer bottles and then leave them out to sow where I planted them. But yeah,
okay.
So do I leave all the babies on the mother plant that I've got 3 in? I've got a perfect location, East Garden. I know right where to put them. Do I leave all the babies on?
I'd leave them on, but you can separate them if you want to. They will take a while to flower. It'll be a couple of years.
Right, okay.
Thanks for the call, Julie.
We got to go.
Charlie, we have run out of time. I'm so sorry. We have to go.
I know.
My takeaway this week, Charlie, is that frost is not always a bad thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it isn't. It isn't. And for many people who have been gardening and aren't really keen gardeners, they love frost. It's their favorite thing because it's like, okay, finally, I'm not a slave to my garden anymore. Frost has knocked it all down. I remember my neighbor back in Richmond Hill, this is my favorite time of year, as she's ripping out stuff and filling bags. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're my best friend for sure. Anyway, thanks, Dean. Have a great time up at the cottage there. Get that dock out of the water. Don't get wet. It's a little chilly.
Yep.
Happy Thanksgiving and not so much happy Yom Kippur, but enjoy the weekend as much as you can. Thanks, Anthony. You've done a fine job again. And thanks to the great callers. Hopefully, I'll see you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.